listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. As we know, Pope Francis spent this past week doing his spiritual exercises. But at the end of this week, he'll mark the third anniversary of his election to the See of Peter. That's on the 13th of March. In a few moments, to mark this anniversary, I'll be speaking to the head of the German programme here at Vatican Radio, Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkord. Stay tuned. Father Bernd Hagenkord, you're a Jesuit. You're head of the German programme at Vatican Radio. Years ago, you discovered that we had a Jesuit pope. We had a pope before who was German, Benedict XVI Emeritus. And then we moved on to a completely different area of the world, a different continent altogether. So this Jesuit from Latin America took the name Francis, and as we know, he began the pontificate by telling us how he came from the ends of the earth. How did that strike you at the time?
Well, he's telling the truth. I have been to South America. It is indeed far away. If you consider Rome to be the center of the world, then Argentina is probably as far as you can get. New Zealand could be but further away.
But what was he trying to say?
First, he wanted to point out, well, I'm from far, far away. Don't expect a Roman pontiff. This is a different kind of bishop you're going to have. But then I think he said more with these words, and we only gradually discovered what he wanted to say. That is, his way of being pope is different. The end of the world shaped him, his perspective, that what he calls going to the peripheries, right? The way he sees the world is shaped by the way he grew up, where he grew up, with whom he grew up. So that's also the end of the earth, the planet, so to speak, that comes with him here to Rome. So there's more message to these words than just indicating, well, I'm new.
What have you discovered in these 3 years that characterizes his coming from the ends of the earth? Perhaps popular piety is one of them, no?
Yeah, that's definitely among the things. His particular Latin American version of popular piety. And I have read about it in the documents of the Latin American bishops at Aparecida. For most of the texts, Cardinal Bergoglio, as he then was responsible. So we've already seen that appreciation. We have a particular perspective on the economy, on the worldwide economy. So he's very critical about the economy because the economy he knows is one of, well, let's call it extortion. So if you look at the big companies buying whole countries and taking away, so it's a particular perspective he has on the economy. It is still a sort of European culture, Spanish, so theology is very much in connection with us. There's a special version of it, but it's definitely shaped by European theology, different from, for example, Indian theology. That would be a completely different version. So there's a mixture of things that sound familiar and things that are very strange or alien to us and our way of church. So he brings with him a lot of very interesting things from Latin America.
Speaking of Argentina, the history of Argentina is a very tough one. He lived through years where he had to deal with dire situations, tragic situations. Yet we talk about Pope Francis as wanting a revolution of tenderness. There's a certain amount of contrast between his revolution of tenderness and his manner of facing issues.
That's connected perhaps to his personal history.
Would you agree?
I don't know the history all too well. I know of the history. I've read a lot about this, but experiencing a dictatorship is different to reading about it. So if you read about these horrible, horrible crimes they committed, they say it was one of the worst or most brutal, if not the most brutal dictatorship Latin America ever had. Living through that, experiencing this, and seeing how people suffer, I mean, it's not that there was only this dictatorship. We had a long history of civil war before that, and afterwards it wasn't all nice as well. So he brings with him this incredible story of suffering violence. So, and this man comes and says, well, we have to change this. We there is something in us, and we have to get this out. And we have to get this inner life into contact with Jesus Christ. We have to turn us around, turn our societies around and our inner lives around and ourselves around to make a better place. So this is the revolution of tenderness, and he has got other metaphors he's talking about. He has experienced all this. He has experienced what man can do to man. So that's his probably his point of where he leaves, where he wants to start and never go back to.
He's chosen this Jubilee year dedicated to mercy. Is that connected to this revolution of tenderness?
I think so. He rediscovered it, I have to say. I was just talking to Cardinal Kasper the other day about mercy, and he said, well, we theologians, we all have almost forgotten that there is some mercy at the heart of the gospel. We talk about justification and all these things and very good concepts. But the one word that captures what Jesus Christ does is indeed mercy. So he brings this to the fore again, puts it right in the center and says, well, if we talk about Jesus Christ and if we talk about following Jesus Christ, we have to talk about this. This way of behaving, this way of acting, this way of actually shaping our inner lives with mercy, that's what we are supposed to be about as Christians.
You have a personal connection as a Jesuit to Pope Francis. What do you recognize in him as being part of the charism of the Society of Jesus?
The most obvious point is that he talks in 3 points. That's something comes from the exercises of St. Ignatius. That's the most obvious bit. But from the exercises also comes way of treating scripture. And that I recognize in the way he preaches. So using different perspectives or being yourself in the perspective of the different actors in, say, text of the gospel, looking at Jesus through different lenses, as it were. So this is a method of praying or, in the case of Francis, of giving a homily on a certain piece of scripture. That would be something. Or talking about the inner life. He's very much about inner life. He talks about changes, about what is in us, the temptations that are in us. This is very Jesuitical. Not only, but I think he has it from the Jesuits. So there are a lot of things you recognize from spirituality. And then, of course, are his influences, the people who influenced him. All Jesuits, if you talk about the French, de Lubac, de Certeau, if you talk about the man he canonized, Pierre Favre, these are all Jesuits. So there's also a lot of history with him.
What has struck you most about this pontificate at a personal level?
The Pope is not afraid. He has no fear. He is free. He's a free. He's open. He doesn't have to protect anything. He doesn't have to safeguard anything. He puts himself at risk. And that is so close to Jesus Christ. There's no gap between what he says and the way he behaves. He talks to people. This is so fantastic to see that this way, well, I think it's the way of the church for the future. It's not only him. There are a lot of people like that. But as a pope, we haven't seen that. We had, before that, we had a lot of popes who came out of a different version of the papacy. Since Pius XII, we have gradually downgraded it. And finally, we arrive at Pope Francis, who's embracing everyone, who is not afraid of touching and being touched. And this is a version of religion, I think, that's something we can hand on to the next generations. And that he helped shape that.
He's thrown away a lot of, got rid of a lot of protocol, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Removed that distance between the people and the Pope.
Yes, well, some of the distance, most of the distance. So if he's on St. Peter's Square or if he's walking, foreign travel, he likes being around people. He loves people. You see that in his face. Even if he's giving a homily and seems to be very tired, as soon as he's down and with the people, he's just radiating this kind of joy. He loves being with people. And people see that. It's not so much the words he says, but just being there and being liked, even if he doesn't speak the language. I've been to Korea, it's the same. They don't speak Spanish, he doesn't speak Korean, but it works. They bond immediately. So this is kind of, how shall I put it? Being with people connects him and his message to all cultures, and that's very genuine. That's fantastic. It's a gift.
You mentioned Korea. It was one of his journeys, which you probably went on.
Yeah.
Is that the journey that struck you most because perhaps you know it better? Or is there one that you would like to pinpoint in a special way?
They're all some way special. What was interesting about Korea was that was his first trip to Asia. We knew the Francis effect worked in Europe, and we knew, of course, it would work in Latin America. But Asia is different. It's not so tactile. It's not so all-embracing and touching. So if the question was, does this pope function properly in Asia? And it was fantastic. It worked. It turned out it worked in Africa as well a couple of years later. It was fantastic to watch and to be there. Every time I'm traveling with the Pope, you see there's something is changing in the society where he is. I've seen that in Cuba. I've seen that in the States, even in the States, I have to say. So it's in Jordan, in Israel, in Seoul. So the, for a short time or a longer time, depending, something changes. And that's fantastic to watch.
So he doesn't just have the charism of Jesuits, he's also charismatic.
No, he's his own person. It's not just one copycat Jesuit like the other. No, it's him. It's definitely him. Not all Jesuits are charismatic.
Is there anything you would like to say about Pope Francis or even send him a message?
Not really. I'm just listening. I mean, he's spontaneous. I'm not a great fan of these interviews he does because I prefer him just talking. Not to journalists, but to people when he's in the audience hall or elsewhere and just chatting and talking. That's, yeah, what I prefer. Mostly has a very, very spiritual center to it all.
They talk about Pope Francis as a Pope of surprises, but he's really very consistent, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
In his manner.
Very. Also, his topics.
If you, there.
Well, he's a Pope of surprises in the sense of he does things because he thinks they need to be done. And he doesn't look and check protocol first or the agenda first. In a sense, it's good because you can't calculate too much. On the other hand, he has certain topics and they come back again and again and again in homilies, in speeches. If you read homilies 2 years ago, you find words and ideas, they come back, they keep coming back. It's like John's Gospel. It goes round in circles and every time it comes back, it's richer, it's more mature. So, yes, he has got surprises, but there are some topics, the peripheries, mercy, and all these things, standing up and leaving yourself, so to speak, these are topics that come back and again and again and again. There's so much to learn still. I'm just an admirer of the way he teaches us to be Christians.
I was speaking there to the head of our German program here at Vatican Radio, Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkort. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.